Deutsche Welle. Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to Africa Link. It's Monday, April the 30th, 2018. I am Zipporah Nyambura.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr. We're also live on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Looking forward to getting your comments and reactions to the stories we're covering. Coming up on the show, Nigeria-US relationship strong and deep, says the US. But what does Nigeria think about it? We'll hear from a political analyst and lecturer from Nigeria, Abdul Kadir.
Well, generally, Nigeria's relationship with the United States is a sort of roller coaster. It's a mixed bag. In the last 6 years before the emergence of Buhari, the relationship was quite frosty.
Nigerians in Washington take to the streets protesting against Buhari's administration.
Nigeria is a cadaver. When I say cadaver, cadaver is a corpse that is in the morgue. You cannot resuscitate it. The best thing to do in Nigeria is divide the country and let everybody go.
We'll also hear from our DW senior correspondent in Washington, Karsten von Namen, on the significance of the meeting.
Well, these are just some of the stories we have lined up for you. But first, let's hear what has been making headlines around the world.
This is DW News. I'm Sertan Sanderson. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari is set to meet U.S. President Donald Trump in Washington later today. The meeting marks the first time President Trump will be hosting an African leader. White House spokeswoman Sarah Huckabee Sanders said that Trump looks forward to discussing ways to enhance a strategic partnership and advance shared priorities between the two countries. However, Trump's controversial remarks at the end of last year, saying that Nigerians who saw the U.S. would never want to go back to their huts, casts an uneasy shadow over the meeting. Trump might use the chance to reset the troubled state of U.S.-African diplomacy. Buhari, meanwhile, is expected to seek further U.S. military assistance in his fight against a Boko Haram insurgency in the north of his country. At least 25 people were killed and dozens injured in two suicide bombings in the Afghan capital Kabul on Monday morning. The blasts took place in Shashtarak, an area that hosts a number of foreign embassies, as well as NATO's headquarters and buildings belonging to the Afghan NDS intelligence agency. An attacker on a motorbike detonated the first bomb during morning rush hour. The second blast followed shortly thereafter and was reportedly set off by an assailant disguised as a journalist among the crowd, gathering to report on the initial blast. Several journalists, including a BBC reporter and several AFP staff, were killed. The so-called Islamic State has claimed responsibility for the attacks. You're listening to DW News. Israeli soldiers have shot and killed three Palestinians in two separate incidents near the border with Gaza. The Israeli army said that soldiers shot two of the Palestinians after they entered Israel from the Palestinian territories and threw explosives at Israeli forces. Around a half hour later, troops had shot and killed a Palestinian trying to scale a fence on Gaza's southern border with Israel. North Korean state television has announced that it will align its time zone with that of the South, putting clocks forward by a half hour.
Pyongyang time will be reset to GMT plus 9, 30 minutes earlier than the present time, with the 135th degree of east longitude as prime meridian.
Pyongyang had changed the time zone in 2015, criticizing it as a relic from Japanese colonial rule. South Korea, meanwhile, said it would remove its propaganda-blasting loudspeakers aimed at the North. Both moves are seen as tentative steps of reconciliation after leaders Moon Jae-in and Kim Jong-un met in a Korean border village last week. And for more news and information, please log on to dw.com or visit our mobile app. I'm Sertan Sanderson.
You're listening to DW's Africa Link program. I'm Eddie Micah Jr.
And I am Zipporah Nyambura. Thank you to all of you who are listening to us on Facebook. Muhammad Ali Mohammed, listening to us from Nigeria, welcome and do share your comments with us.
Indeed. We start off in Nigeria. Nigeria-US relationship have been termed as rocky, suspicious and sometimes unstable. However, White House describes the relationship between the two countries as deep and strong.
According to Tukur Abdul Kadir, a senior lecturer in political science at Kaduna State University, the relationship has been fragile owing to Nigeria's lack of foreign policy and level playing ground. I talked to Kadira and he starts by describing the relationship between the two countries.
Well, generally, Nigeria's relationship with the United States is a sort of roller coaster. It's a mixed bag. We have had issues with the United States in the past, and we also had at times when the relationship was quite cordial. When former President Obasanjo was in power, he had established a good relationship with the American military, and American military officers actually were even dispatched to Nigeria. And of course, we may also wish to remember that 5 years ago, when Goodluck was the president of Nigeria, they wanted to buy weapons from the United States. And of course, that deal was blocked by the US Congress, and the American government was critical of the military, especially on the issue of human rights violation. So generally, in the last 6 years before the emergence of Buhari, the relationship was quite frosty.
We know White House has described its relationship with Nigeria as deep and strong, but going by its policy of America first, do you see this being a mutual relationship?
If the White House describes her relationship with Nigeria as deep and strong, well, it wouldn't surprise us. After all, they still make a brisk business and hundreds of millions of dollars. And of course, we are always at a disadvantage in the sense that we do not sell much to the United States apart from our oil, where they have the U.S. president, the new American president, not quite long ago, made some unguarded utterances against Africa and blacks. Even in Nigeria, he was also particular about Nigeria. And I don't know how the president of this country will really exhibit the kind of confidence or play his own card right in terms of extracting the necessary concession from the United States and in terms of ensuring that the relationship is symbiotic, not parasitic.
What is Nigeria's key foreign policy as it looks into building this relationship with the U.S.?
We are yet to have any coherent foreign policy as a country, but we have our principles and objectives, such as the protection of our sovereignty, the support for Africa, wherever Africans are, and the peace and stability of Africa, the non-interference in the internal affairs of other nations. But you know, there are many contradictions, and that is actually so common with states in Africa, where leadership is not, especially political institutions, are not so strong, and where everything revolves around the personality of a leader.
That is Tukur Abdul Kadir, a senior lecturer in political science at Kaduna State University. Now, after more than a year in office, President Donald Trump will for the first time host an African president at the White House. The meeting between Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari comes after an uncomfortable start to the Trump's administration after his derogatory remarks against African nations.
Now, the White House says both security and business will be up for discussion during the visit as Nigeria intensifies its fight against Boko Haram jihadist group. To expound further on this, I talked to our DW senior correspondent, Carsten Fornamen. I asked how significant the visit was.
It is quite significant, but it says a lot about Donald Trump's relationship with Africa that it took so long for him to welcome an African leader in the White House. Clearly, Donald Trump doesn't put a lot of emphasis on Africa. He mainly looks at foreign policy in a transactional way. So the question always is, what can you do for us? And then we might do something for you. Clearly, though, Nigeria is one of the most important partners of the Americans on the African continent, both as a potential field for investors, as a potential economic partner, but also, of course, in the field of security, because the one thing that Donald Trump is interested in when it comes to Africa is the fight against international terrorism.
Let's move on, though. We're talking about possibly Nigeria hoping to get some sort of military or security assistance and economic assistance from U.S. President Donald Trump. But what is in for the U.S.?
I think for the U.S., it's very important in their fight against international terrorist groups to have Nigeria on their side. We had the incident in Chad some time ago in Niger some time ago, where American soldiers were killed. So this is on the radar of the Americans. There are a number of missions from the American military and the CIA going on all over Africa. And so Nigeria is a very important partner in that one. So that is in there for the United States. And then, of course, there's Nigeria's economic potential. The Americans do see Africa as the last big international frontier in the field of the economy. They're maybe not doing as much as the Chinese are doing, but they are recognizing that there is potential in the continent.
Karsten Fornamen, our senior correspondent in Washington.
And of course, we've gotten a lot of feedback. We did ask on Facebook, can this security and business meeting boost Buhari's chances for re-election? And Echo Evans says, rejected at home and celebrated abroad. Dear Buhari, charity begins at home. Come back and build your country. Stop running away from problems.
Interesting one there. Well, MC Moses Emeka says, Buhari has gone to meet a president who has the good interest of his people at heart. A man who believes in America first before any other. Let's see if Mr. Buhari will learn how to place value on his people for once.
Brian Chigemezu says the only thing that can boost Buhari's chances for re-election is a compromised electoral commission.
Interesting one. Finally, Ife Flora Onok says, hope you won't go there and blast Nigerian youths, calling them lazy. If so, you better stay back.
Well, so keep on writing and thank you for your feedback. Nigerians living in the U.S. today took to the streets to protest against Muhammadu Buhari's visit. The two groups, some pro and against Buhari's leadership, were divided on the Biafra independence question. We now join our correspondent in Washington, Kabir Issa Jikamshi. He starts by telling us what the main issues of contentions are.
Well, actually, they are calling for Buhari has to have a referendum for Nigeria so that the Biafran can decide their own future, you know. And you can see they are making, you know, shouting and asking for Buhari to do something about the Biafra issue. You know, the accusing of killing of the headman, killing and some other things.
You are right there at the moment. What is the mood at the moment where you are?
Well, the oath looks very peaceful. There are two groups here. One group is pro Buhari, and the other group is against Buhari. But there is security, you know, that, you know, separate the two sides. But it's peaceful, you know, it's very peaceful, as I can see. So two people here. One for Buhari and the other one is for anti-Buhari.
I'm here to tell the world that Muhammad Buhari is not doing what he's supposed to do. This man is a divider. He's not a unifier. When he came to power, everyone had a motion and idea that this man will make things work. Syria has become the worst country to live on earth.
That's not true. The president came. He made a very messy sense. He's trying to arrange it. You cannot change things within short time. He has been in power just for 3 years.
So 4 years.
He made a lot of mess. He is trying to do his best. It's not easy to rule a country of more than 200 million. It's not easy.
Then how?
It's a very diverse country. He's very weak. He is trying his best. He's not perfect, but he is trying.
So how can we make Nigeria work?
My brother, Nigeria is a cadaver. When I say cadaver is a corpse that is in the morgue. You cannot resuscitate it. The best thing to do in Nigeria is divide the country and let everybody go.
Those are voices of Nigerians in Washington who took to the streets demonstrating against Buhari's visit.
Well, talking about voices, there's one voice here from Tanjo, who is actually also commenting on what he thinks about Nigeria's president visiting the U.S. president. Take a listen.
My name is Tanjo Christopher Fon. I'm a pastor with the Bible Translation Program. I'm based in West Cameroon. Dear President Buhari and President Trump, please discuss on how to create jobs in Africa, starting from Nigeria, so that it will reduce the number of immigrants fleeing African countries to America illegally. It is disheartening to see how many young men and women from Africa are rushing to the Western world because there they have better jobs and democracy. Thank you. God bless your discussion.
So that was Tanjo with that comment. It looks like this guy knows a lot about foreign policy. He's definitely outlined what Buhari should be talking about in the U.S., huh?
Yeah, of course, issues of security and migration are key for the two leaders. And we have one last one here from George, who says President Buhari's visit to U.S. and meeting Donald Trump is just a jamboree and image sourcing.
Well, lots of comments definitely came through. Thank you very much for those comments. And don't forget to keep joining the show. When comments come through live, we'll let you know.
If you're just joining us, welcome to the program. My name is Ipora Nyambura.
And I'm Eddie Micah Jr. Don't forget to leave your comments live on our Facebook page. Now, coming up, use of Tramadol painkiller in Ghana rises as many claim it enhances sex performances.
I was introduced by my friends. They just told me if I take, I can have long sex. You don't get scared. Anything you see human beings like chickens.
And of course, we will have much more. We are looking forward to hear that. But first, Mo Ibrahim says it's time for African leaders who have stayed long in power and have no major reforms to step aside. Ibrahim is the founder of the Mo Ibrahim Prize for Achievement in African Leadership, which awards best leaders for their positive work in enabling the prosperity of their nation, tackling poverty and democracy. He says it is the high time young people are also given a chance to contribute and have a say in political and governance issues. DW's Abubakar Jallo spoke exclusively to Mo Ibrahim. He first wanted to find out what would happen if this space is not given to young people.
Actually, it will not be very pretty because you cannot keep the lid on dissatisfaction for a long time. We end up with having people on the streets. Nobody wants that. So we have to have reform. Look at what happened in Ethiopia. Great development. Ethiopia has been the fastest growing economy in Africa for the last 15 years. But that's not enough. Like my debate with Prime Minister Hailemariam Desalegn yesterday. I don't know if you were there or not. But he said it himself, a wonderful statement he made. He said, great, we had wonderful development, but we kept the lid in too many people. Many people were disenfranchised. And that's why I decided to give a shock to the system by resigning to force reform. And reform started to happen over there. And then protests stopped.
Should that what happened in Ethiopia also happened in countries like Cameroon, where we have a leader that's been in power for a decade?
Yeah, Cameroon is in a very, very bad shape. I mean, we have a leader there who has been there for over 30-something years, and we have problem in the angle, what they call the Anglophone areas of the Cameroon, and they tried to really deal with them harshly, which was wrong, and the president getting too old in Cameroon, and you cannot just stay about there. We don't see much changes in Cameroon. And if people don't have development, they should have nothing to offer the country. They should step aside.
We have presidents who realize that their capacity is not strong enough. I'm speaking directly to President Buhari of Nigeria, okay, but he's seeking re-elections. Do you think that's good for the people of Nigeria?
To be honest, I mean, it is. We don't try to interfere in these internal politics. It's up to the Nigerian people to decide whether Buhari is the best next president or somebody else. And who else? That's because the other potential candidates, who's best to run Nigeria in the future? I have no vote in that, and I have no right to say who is better. We shouldn't do that. All what we do is, I mean, we observe what's going on and we comment. And we think Buhari has a great stand against corruption, which is good, and will these policies produce results? We notice also there is some lack of actions in certain areas, and we need some dynamism in the government. But whether he's the best leader for Nigeria or not, this is for you to vote on, not for me.
That is Mo Ibrahim, the founder of the Mo Ibrahim Prize for Achievement in African Leadership.
Now, you can listen to that interview on our DW Africa homepage. Also, the interview with former Liberian President Sirleaf Ellen Johnson is also there. So go take a listen.
Health check.
Now, officials in Ghana are getting alarmed at the rate at which people are abusing the use of Tramadol, a painkiller drug. Many of those reportedly abusing the drug include young people who take it in excess of approved clinical doses for various activities, including prolonged sex. Health officials are warning of devastating effects such as heart diseases, among others. Isaac Kaleji in Ghana reports that a major campaign has been launched by officials to contain the situation.
I was introduced by my friends. They just told me if I take, I can have long sex. You don't get scared. anything you see human beings like chickens.
People That's 27-year-old Prince Owusu talking about getting addicted to Tramadol, an opioid pain medication used to treat severe pain. He got addicted to it after abusing the drug. It was to keep him awake, deal with any body pain, and also to have prolonged sex. The impact was devastating for Prince.
I became sick, every day vomiting. Anytime I take Tramadol, I vomit. And after sex, after prolonged sex, I become weak. I walk around, even during the night that I have to rest, I can't rest. I have to walk around till daybreak. So it's something that if you take, you can never sleep. You'll be feeling bad. Sleeping in your room, you'll be thinking you are carrying the whole house.
Prince is now recovering from his addiction, but similar stories are scattered across many communities in Ghana. The trend worries health officials. Tramadol is a man-made synthetic narcotic pain reliever, and it is usually prescribed to patients suffering from moderate to severe pain. The approved dosage strength for Tramadol by Ghana's Food and Drugs Authority is 50 milligrams and 100 milligrams. But it has emerged that some members of the public use up to 225 milligrams. Dr. Dennis Bote is a public health expert.
This definitely is going to affect the person's lifestyle, work life and everything. I mean, if a drug is putting somebody in a state of euphoria all the time, at clinical doses, it may not give that effect. But at those high doses and the person's having a state of euphoria, feeling drowsy, dizzy, with all kinds of pleasure, the person can be at work and be giggling and laughing when there's nothing to laugh about.
One requires about $1 to purchase a significant amount of Tramadol, which could be more than clinical prescribed dosage. With the emerging threats to human health among abusers, some operators of pharmacies in Ghana say they have stopped selling the drug for now.
We used to, but we don't sell anymore because they abuse it, that's why we stopped selling it.
Yeah, we don't sell Tramadol. It is a toxic substance. And then it is not approved.
The Food and Drugs Authority in Ghana is now linking up with police to clamp down on all pharmacies still selling the drugs without prescription. Authorities are now focusing on preventing the illegal influx of the drugs into Ghana. Olivia Boatin is head of substance abuse at the Ghana Food and Drugs Authority.
We still have a lot of porous bodies that are unmanned. Far from strengthening or intensifying monitoring at these unauthorized routes, we have men at some vantage positions that we hear that these things come in. It doesn't come detected. They are clandestine activities.
Ghana's health ministry has declared the issue a national concern and hopes the current steps taken will help address it.
Isaac Kaleji with that report.
And Eddie, as you'd expect, of course, we have a lot of feedback on this. Mm-hmm. Asiedu Johnson says, I've learned from a medical practitioner that painkillers are addictive. But one funny side is the youth taking Tramadol, not to cure any pain, but for long-lasting sex.
Yeah, and that's the dangerous part, if you ask me. But still, on more comments, Didas from Rwanda says, this is very common in most African youth. Some are also addicted to morphine injection, but afterwards they experience great problems.
And Jude from Cameroon says, our country is facing a similar addiction crisis. Young people are hooked on Tramadol for the same reason. The sad thing is that there are very few rehab centers in Cameroon.
Now, Tumi from Southern Cameroon adds, this is a bad practice for the human body. Rest and water consumption balances the system. So he's calling for more natural ways of, you know, controlling the human body and keeping the human body safe rather than resort to drugs. Anyway, we'll be getting back to some more comments when we have time. But let's check out sports news now. Nigerian referee Joseph Ogbo has been given a one-year ban by CAF. Also, Ghana's Isaac Dogbe has become the country's youngest ever boxing champion after knocking out Jesse Magdaleno in Philadelphia. DW correspondent Samson Omale has more.
We begin the sports with the news that Nigerian referee Joseph Ogbo has been given a one-year ban by CAF for attempting to manipulate the first leg of the CAF Confederations Cup match between Plateau United and USM Alger of Algeria. The Nigerian champions won the encounter 2-1 and lost the reverse fixture in Algeria 4-0 to crash out of the competition. Staying with football news, Tanzania were crowned champions of the CECAFA Under 17 Championship after beating Somalia 2-0 in the final on Sunday at the Gitega Stadium in Gitega. Goals from Edison Jeremiah and Jafar Umto were enough for the Serengeti boys to end the fairy tale story of the Somalis in the final, watched by CAF President Ahmed Ahmad. The South African government are reportedly planning to lobby other African countries as they prepare to fight against the International Association of Athletics Federation's IAAF ruling regarding testosterone levels in female athletes, which could mean double Olympic 800 meters champion Caster Semenya is barred from competing. The new regulations, which the IAAF Council approved in March and are set to be implemented in November, Sports Minister Thokozile Mkasa confirmed that South African President Cyril Ramaphosa will meet with Semenya, winner of Commonwealth Games gold medals in the 800 and 1,500 meters at the Gold Coast 2018 in the near future to discuss the issue.
We're asking as Africa, because for your long distance races, it's more of your African kids that are participating, and we have been making why a query when it comes to them? Why do they want to determine which distances they must run? And at the same time, why would they also want to dictate on a natural occurrence in a person?
And in boxing news, Isaac Dogboe has become Ghana's youngest ever boxing champion after knocking out Jesse Magadileno in Philadelphia on Sunday morning, making him the new WBO super bantamweight and junior featherweight title holder. The Ghanaian won by technical knockout in 11 rounds as he was ahead on all three judges' official scorecards at the time of his stoppage, which was 97-91, 96-91, and 95-93. The 23-year-old, who was knocked down in the first round, recovered well to claim his 11th straight victory.
It was unbelievable. I never thought I was gonna go down, but he put me down for the first time. It's a learning curve, and I appreciate, you know, the lessons. And just a little slip up. He caught me with a good shot. I went down, I got back up, you know, and we finished the job.
That was DW Sports correspondent Samson O'Malley. Now, in news that's just reaching us, Chad's parliament has overwhelmingly approved a new constitution that expands President Idris Deby's powers and could allow him to stay in office until 2033. The vote was boycotted by most opposition lawmakers. So there you have it. Another African president wanting to stay longer.
That's precisely what Mo Ibrahim was talking about. Mm. Leaders holding on to power and not giving even others a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad to hear. I mean, if the original constitution allowed two terms or whichever number of terms, why can't presidents just respect that?
Yeah. So remember, we will have more on that on our DW Africa page. So keep tuned.
Mm.
And of course, going back to our top story, everyone is talking about Buhari's visit to Washington. And we've got lots of feedback on that, Eddie. I will start with Frank Ajuba, who says, we did ask about that visit. And Rafto Udochuku says he's going there to cause another blunder. My ears are already open to hear the story and my eyes are ready to watch the drama.
Well, definitely. Everyone is waiting to see how that meeting is going to go. But Camp SA says, Nigeria's President Buhari's visit to U.S. and meeting Donald Trump is just a jamboree and image saucing. The people of Nigeria expect nothing less. There are more pressing issues back home needing attention. So this comment suggests that it's a waste of time for him to go over there, but there are issues in Nigeria that he should remain and solve them instead of going for these meetings.
Yeah, Charles Ongole from Kampala says, I wouldn't really claim to know what agenda President Buhari takes to Washington, but if it is African, maybe he ought to suggest to Trump to engage Africa's civil society organizations more than he does ruling presidents and parties. Africa, more than ever, he needs urgent transformation away from corruption.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Nigerians and generally the rest of Africa are looking forward to that meeting to see how it goes. But most Nigerians especially are more concerned about if some sort of agreement will be given to Nigeria to help tackle the Boko Haram situation. You know, maybe the U.S. will give them military support, security support to help tackle Boko Haram. That seems to be the apex of what people expect, though. We'll see.
Yeah, sure. We are keeping watch and we are keeping you informed on this visit and much more from Africa and, of course, on that topic. And should I read the last one?
No, sure. Time will not allow us. The name is Eddie Micah Jr.
And I'm Zipporah Nyambura. Bye for now.